over at Mitchell One, the Real Fix Sure Track Repair of the Week. An interesting problem. This regards a 2004 Chevy Silverado 2500 HD with a 6-liter in it. And the problem with the vehicle was that the throttle would drop out, the door locks would cycle off and on, and it was really kind of difficult to resolve because it was an intermittent random problem. The story starts out with phantom problems like doors locking and unlocking on their own, and a vehicle can be tough to diagnose. Sure enough, community member Rich's Repair had a Chevrolet Silverado in the shop that could lose power and the door locks would act up after a cold start. They posed the question to the community. With the help of fellow members, they were able to resolve it quickly. And what they did was they went through some diagnostics. This problem occurred after a cold start. And after 1 mile of driving, the door lock started to lock and unlock, and all the dash lights came on, and the throttle went to idle because it went into limping. This will happen on and off for about 3 minutes. The story continues. Sometimes it goes into reduced power. Sometimes it didn't. They went through and checked all the grounds. They looked at wires. They found no brakes. Someone else had put a throttle body in it and a main engine computer, and it made no difference. They hooked the lab scope up. Remember the call we had this hour about the gentleman with the Volkswagen that wouldn't start, about looking for power and ground, positive connection using a headlamp? They hooked the lab scope up. They saw a voltage spike on the PCM ground, ground 103. Added a ground wire, vehicle's fixed. You always got to look at grounds. More information like this at Mitchell1.com. I'm Ron Ananey, the Car Doctor, reminding you once again, good mechanics aren't expensive. They're priceless. See ya.
When the forgotten poor are suffering and in need of healing, they wait for a ship unlike any other. Mercy Ships, the largest floating civilian hospital in the world, with volunteer medical staff and crew who donate their time to save lives. Heroes of mercy, like these.
Every human being has the right to be treated as human, to have a place at the table of the human race.
If you could just see the look in the patient's eyes or the smiles that you get when lives have been changed, then it would make it all worth it.
We bring hope and healing to one person, but that person belongs to a family, and that family belongs to a community.
Together, these heroes of mercy and friends like you bring hope and healing to those who desperately need it.
Thank you!
To learn more about Heroes of Mercy, go to mercyships.org today.
KVOI Cortero, AM 1030, the voice of Tucson. Trusted local news and talk. A Bustos Media Station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Allison Keyes in Washington. Protests of the police killing of George Floyd, a black man who died after a white officer pinned him with a knee to his neck, turned violent in cities, including Minneapolis, overnight. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz is stepping up defense.
I'm authorizing to fully mobilize the Minnesota National Guard.
CBS's Michael George is there.
Many in the neighborhoods watch the arson attacks with dismay.
The action that they're taking is not going to get the results that they're seeking.
Minnesota Governor Tim Walz pleaded for them to go home.
The wanton destruction, and specifically of ethnic businesses that took generations to build, are being torn down.
The demonstrations only intensified after Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin was charged yesterday with third-degree murder and manslaughter. All four officers who were part of the arrest have been fired.
CBS News correspondent Cammy McCormick says the Pentagon is ordering military police units to prepare.
CBS News has learned the Pentagon's ordered the Army to put police units on alert. Some are on a return to base within 30 minutes' notice. That's the last alert stage before they'd receive an order to head to Minneapolis or elsewhere. And this involves military units in a handful of states so far.
Turning now to an historic space launch set for today from U.S. soil for the first time since the space shuttle program ended in 2011.
I'm Peter King at the Kennedy Space Center. The weather is still iffy. Air Force meteorologists predicting a 50% chance of acceptable weather at launch time. Astronauts Doug Hurley and Bob Behnken have had breakfast. They are about to suit up, and in just under an hour, they will head out to the launch pad. There are several go-no-go points where NASA and SpaceX can scrub. Wednesday, they called it off just under 17 minutes before launch.
More fallout from COVID-19. Your U.S. passport won't help you in Greece.
Greece will start accepting foreign tourists from 29 countries in another 2 weeks, but the U.S. is not on that list. Only foreign nationals from countries that have successfully contained COVID-19 will be admitted. Danes and Norwegians can start visiting each other again next month, but Swedes are being left out of that arrangement for similar reasons. And in Italy, the Leaning Tower of Pisa has reopened to tourists again 3 months after closing due to coronavirus. Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
The Supreme Court is refusing to block restrictions in California, limiting attendance at church services as the COVID-19 pandemic continues. Chief Justice John Roberts joined the four liberals on the divided court in allowing rules imposing a 25% occupancy cap. This is CBS News.
The biggest names in politics face the questions you want answered.
As Commander-in-Chief, what do you think America's role in the world should be?
Face the Nation, Sundays on CBS.
I've always wanted to learn another language, but every time I try, it never sticks. So I decided to give Babbel a try, and I really like the teaching method of the app. I started with the beginner lesson on Babbel, and it starts with simple words and phrases, and soon you're putting those words into a conversation. Each lesson takes about 10 to 15 minutes, and they're all really different, which keeps things interesting. The app is really smart. It actually keeps track of the words I'm struggling with so I can practice them and get better. I chose Babbel because it was created by real language teachers. They built it around real life, how people actually communicate, and what they care about. I can't wait to use my new language skills in the real world. Dos cervezas, por favor.
With Babbel, get conversational in Spanish, French, German, and more. It just takes 10 to 15 minutes a day. Now try Babbel free. Just go to Babbel.com or download the Babbel app and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com, B-A-B-B-E-L.com.
Good morning, Arizona. Thank you for joining us this morning. Our guest today is FBI Assistant Special Agent in Charge, Steve Patterson. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great, Sherry. How are you doing?
Doing okay. I'm glad you got up early on your day off to call in, talk to us. We still don't have anybody in the studio because of the virus. At some point, somebody's got to open up the studio. I'm getting feral.
Yeah, well, it's no problem. Happy to talk to you today, and maybe in the future we'll have an opportunity to meet in the studio.
That'd be awesome. What's going on? I know there's a lot of things going on with this virus that includes scams and people are being taken advantage of. Can you tell us what the update is?
Sure, absolutely. First, I really wanted to highlight to everybody that you know, the FBI is in contact all the time with the CDC, the state, county, and local health officials, keeping track of how things are going. Our employees, obviously, are of grave concern to us, but wanted to let everybody know that we're still here. We will continue to be here, and we're obviously laser focused on our mission to protect the American people and uphold the Constitution. So we are, in fact, starting to see some additional fraud schemes out there related to COVID. Let me start by giving you a couple of phone numbers and email addresses that are out there that if anybody sees any of these type of issues, to please call or reach out on the different websites. And I'll push these out to Sherry. I'll push these out to you later on as well. But the National Center for Disaster Fraud is 866-720-5721. And the FBI's Internet Crime Complaint Center is IC3.gov. And you can also send your tips to tips.fbi.gov, or obviously you can call the local office in Tucson or in Phoenix. Some of the things that that we're seeing right now are just variations of the different fraud schemes that are out there. I can't highlight enough that everybody just needs to really practice smart cyber hygiene, right? Is, you know, to avoid opening attachments and clicking on links within emails from senders you don't recognize. You know, that's always a major one. Independently verify the information is originating from the original source, right? There are a lot of times people can modify the headers on emails. You want to obviously verify that this information is coming from maybe a CDC website, you know. Obviously, you want to avoid and never provide any of your personal information via email or via the phone. Nobody's going to call you or send you an email saying, send me your passwords. Please give me your passwords. And again, if you have any question or concern, you know, go and look on the internet, make phone calls to make a determination as to if this is really CDC who's reaching out to me. Some of the more popular or, I guess, common schemes that we're seeing right now are different healthcare fraud situations where people are claiming to be offering up tests or providing PPE at reduced rates, and you just need to provide a little information. Again, these people are just trying to scam, oftentimes scam you out of money or trying to get your personal account information. Another common one is some of these quick get-rich-quick schemes in which they're you're moving money. We call it money mules. Now we have so many people who are sitting at home, maybe don't have a job, and are looking for ways to make money, and they start seeing these emails coming out, hey, you have opportunities to make money utilizing your accounts. Again, it's something that we're seeing very common, and again, they're using the COVID-19 fears or schemes or thoughts to compromise people. And those are really the major ones that we're seeing right now, but again, most of them are just variations of the common internet or phone call related fraud schemes. But now they're trying to leverage some of the fear associated with COVID to compromise some of these some of our people. So
the work from home,
that's kind of what we're seeing.
Let's work exactly. From home and make a lot of money, and it doesn't work that way, unfortunately.
No, well. That's and this is something where we tell people all the time is if it sounds too good to be true, it is, right? And you never want to send money to somebody you don't know. And you see this all the time, and it's unfortunate. We're getting these tips all the time through our IC3 or through our local call-ins quite often.
Yeah, and we're going to post on our website, lawmatters1030.org. We're going to post all these contacts that you've given us so that if people do have a question, they have resources to go to. And when you're talking about make sure it's emails coming from the source, they can make a change. Instead of .gov, they can put .net, and you wouldn't notice it because you're just not, you know, used to getting an email from somebody that's trying to scam you, but it's going on.
Exactly. And oftentimes people will just change one letter, and one letter on the internet can change the domain completely, you know? And so always want to verify. And again, as you start to see these things, if you see these things, please push those out to the Internet Crime Complaint Center, IC3. which I would be remiss if I didn't mention that it was the this month was the 20-year anniversary of us beginning the Internet Crime Complaint Center. And to date, and it's pretty incredible when you think about it, to date, as of March of 2020, there have been over 5 million complaints filed with IC3. It just goes
I contributed.
Yeah, yes, that's true. You did. You did. It just goes to show the number of victims or potential victims and potential fraud schemes that are out there today.
It's sad, but people are always trying to figure out how to make a quick buck, and they're going to use you. Somebody wants you to run money through your bank account. That's a real bad idea.
Right, right. Well, and not only that, it's actually a crime. Being a money mule is there's a statute there that it is actually a crime. But some of the top complaints that we've received in Arizona off of the IC3 were non-payment and non-delivery issues. Again, kind of like somebody promising you send me, you PayPal me money, and I will send you X or Y, and lack of delivery. Extortion, we see that unfortunately a lot, where internet email will come in saying, I know who you are, I have pictures, or anything like that.
Know where your family lives.
Yes, exactly. And then the personal data breach, which is as they start to gain more information about you. These people spend a lot of time doing that. And, it's the numbers are astronomical. The amount of loss over the last, just in Arizona, the numbers of victim amount loss of victims over 60 years old the last 20 years is over $13 million.
Oh, my God. That's huge.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that's really, we want to make sure that people are aware that these type of fraud schemes are out there. And again, people are sitting at home. People are concerned about what's going on, and a lot of times these fraudsters are using that fear to try to make a buck. And it's unfortunate, but we are obviously actively looking at these things. In fact, we put out a press release. The U.S. Attorney's Office put out a press release a couple days ago. Where we indicted a couple of subjects regarding a variety of different COVID-related schemes. So we are looking at these, and we are actively pursuing them.
Okay. Is the FBI hiring?
FBI is always hiring.
You want to be one of the good guys. Listen up. This is how you get hired on by the FBI.
Yes. Obviously, scheduling changes and modified work schedule with COVID, our processes have slowed down, but in no way have we stopped recruiting. In fact, now we are making an even harder push. So there are more than just jobs related to being an FBI special agent. The Bureau has about 13,000 agents, but over 30,000, almost 40,000 employees. Okay, so there are a variety of different professions within the FBI that don't involve being a special agent. So I want people to know that there's options out there if you don't believe that you necessarily want to be a special agent. Where you can look for jobs within the FBI is you can go to fbijobs.gov. Okay, and they're going to have a listing of all the different jobs. And again, there is the full gamut. And in regards to being an agent, or being an analyst, or being a professional support, you know, we are looking for a broad base experience and a broad base of your college degree. Everybody has to have a college degree, but we don't just hire attorneys or accountants.
You don't necessarily get hired into the field of study that you went to college for. They might find special something else for you to do.
Exactly. And in fact, one of the examples of that is I had a business degree, a lot of accounting. I was preparing to sit for the CPA before I got in the FBI. Never had to sit because I got into the FBI before then. I thought I would move into the financial crimes, white collar crimes. I ended up being assigned to a violent crime and gang squad.
Ooh.
Spent 8 years doing that. So,
you could tell stories.
Yeah, that's probably another call in session. Yeah. There's more than a few there. That's the great thing about the FBI is people within my building, if we were to run a poll of what their undergraduate or postgraduate degrees were, it runs the full spectrum. We have agents who are literally doctors, went to med school, and then decided to become agents, rocket scientists, engineers, teachers, everybody. You know, the average age of agents getting on, or individuals getting into the Bureau is over 30 years old. So most people who get in the Bureau to be agents have already had a bit of a career and have made the decision that, hey, this is a great job, but I have a different calling. And it's a tremendous opportunity.
Well, that's awesome. All this information that you've given us, including the jobs, we're going to put on our website so people have a resource to be able to call. If they can't find it on the internet or the FBI website, you'll be able to find it on lawmatters1030.org. And I appreciate you coming on and spending the morning with us.
No problem, Sherry. We'll try to do it again. Maybe next time I'll actually be, we'll all be in the studio.
In the same studio. And I want to give a shout out to Jill. Thank you. Good morning. I know she's listening.
Okay. Have a great day, Sherry. Thank you very much.
You too. Take care. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a few. Law Matters Live Show airs Saturday mornings at 8 when our listeners ask questions of people who have answers. On our next show, we'll talk to former congressman and author of The Student Handbook for Success, Albert Anthony Melvin. So get your questions ready to join the talk at 790-2040. You don't want to be left out. Set your alarm for AM 1030 The Voice. And we can't do the show without your support. Please go to lawmatters1030.org to contribute.
The FBI says the fastest growing financial crime in the United States targets some of society's most vulnerable citizens, children, and the elderly. It's called synthetic identity theft, and it differs from traditional ID theft because criminals don't steal an identity, they create one using a combination of real and fake information. When they use that identity to apply for credit, a new credit file is generated. The fraud is difficult to detect, so to help prevent your child's Social Security number from being used as part of a synthetic ID, the FBI's Jill Adams suggests checking their credit reports and
parents can request that credit bureaus freeze their children's credit.
Supervisory Special Agent Zachariah Baldwin.
The other thing they can do is have their children signed on as an authorized user for their credit profile. They don't actually have access to the card to make purchases, but they're linked to their accounts. This is often done to build their credit.
With FBI This Week, I'm Molly Halpern of the Bureau.
Getting a reverse mortgage with the new rules and expanded limits can be a positive, life-changing experience. The reverse offers multiple ways of having your equity work for you, from a monthly income, an interest-bearing equity account, or total cash out. Give me a call and let's see which reverse option best works for your future plans. Call 520-310-9900. Ask for me, Sherry. That's 520-310-9900. Thanks for staying with us. Our next guest this morning is from Homeland Security, Tammy Breitsky. Good morning. Tammy?
Hello. Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm well, Sherry. How are you today?
Doing okay. Before we get into our topic today, tell us a little bit about you, how you started in your profession and where you've been, and now you're in Tucson. So let's hear your story.
Oh, gladly. So I have been on with Homeland Security Investigation since 2009. My first assignment was actually here in Tucson, and I didn't start out working human trafficking, which is what we're here to talk about today, but I did take advantage of our broad spectrum of authorities that we have. I was able to work a lot of different cases. I worked money laundering, identity and benefit fraud, drug, gun smuggling, human smuggling, but I really spent the majority of my time on human trafficking investigations. I started working with a lot of our other law enforcement and victim service providers here in Southern Arizona. And back in 2015, we actually developed the Southern Arizona Anti-Trafficking Unified Response Network, and that's our task force. So I was a founding member of SATURN. And then in 2017, I left. I went to Texas, and I worked for the Joint Task Force in San Antonio. It's a DHS Unity of Effort mission focusing on combating transnational criminal organizations. So I spent a couple of years there, and then I came back in 2019 to Tucson, where I've been supervising our Border Enforcement Security Task Force. It's a group that focuses on human smuggling and human trafficking. And I've got a really great group of investigators that are doing some awesome case work here in Southern Arizona. And what I'd like to talk to you today is about some of our human trafficking efforts.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with SATURN. We've done several shows, and I think the work they do, and I've had Jennifer Crawford on from TPD, the work they do is just amazing. And let's talk more about the idea of what's going on with the task force and how they work.
Yes. So SATURN has been doing a lot of really great work here lately. We have some new stuff that we're working on. And I always like to start when I'm talking to somebody about the work that we do in our anti-trafficking efforts, I like to actually start with explaining some of the differences and misconceptions between human smuggling and human trafficking. I think a lot of times people get it a little confused, and it's very common, actually. Mm-hmm. But what I like to start out with is just the basic definition. So when we're talking about human trafficking, it's about forced fraud or coercion of sex, commercial sex, or labor. And human smuggling is quite different. Even though the terms sometimes get they get misused, smuggling is actually a transportation-based crime. So it's the importation of people. It's the movement of people throughout the United States. It's not based on exploitation, which is what human trafficking is. So it has to be an exploitation-based issue that you're dealing with, not somebody that's been smuggled in or throughout the United States. The differences between sex and labor are sex is a commercial sex act that's induced by force, fraud, or coercion. Or if the person is under the age of 18, it's automatically sex trafficking if it is commercial sex. Now, labor is the recruitment, harboring, transportation, provision, or obtaining of a person for labor or services through the use of force, fraud, or coercion. And it's talking about involuntary servitude, peonage, debt bondage, basic slavery. So that's where I usually like to start to make sure that all of the listeners are clear about what we're talking about when we're discussing human trafficking. There are a lot of misconceptions. A lot of people think that a victim has to be a foreign national, or they think that they have to be an adult, or they think that they have to be a child, or they, they think that it's only female. And really, a sex trafficking victim or a labor trafficking victim can be anyone. There's no age, there's no race, there's no gender. it's all about vulnerability. So I think a lot of the traffickers are specifically looking for vulnerable people to recruit in and begin trafficking them.
When you talk about labor, what it's not just the sex labor. There's other means of labor. Tell us what the various labor definitions are.
So the definition is just forced labor, right? If you're put into a position where you are subjected to involuntary servitude or debt bondage, we see a lot in the agricultural field, right. The labor sectors that people that generally work in those sectors are vulnerable to being trafficked.
Yeah, because they don't have a choice. You have to do this. If you want to come to America, you have to promise XYZ or be forced into XYZ in order to be here. Is that what
sure.
we're...
So, a lot of the foreign nationals that are coming in for the purposes of working, sometimes they come in on visas that are valid visas, but they're easily taken advantage of, and they're vulnerable when they don't necessarily know the culture or the language. They just know that they came here to work, and there are cases where they are subjected to labor trafficking, where they're not earning the wages that they agreed upon, or they're doing a different type of work. Maybe they came in and they thought that they were going to work as a nanny or in a restaurant, and then they end up in a brothel or a strip club.
So it's very misleading, and there's all kinds of things. Tell us what people need to know when they're looking. Like you and I were talking about a situation I observed in California, and it wasn't until years later that I realized what I was watching. Tell us what people need to watch for. What are some of the red flags?
So there are a lot of resources available for this. HSI, we have a strategic targeted outreach campaign that we'll work on just to reach out to the public. If you look at our DHS Blue campaign, it's online. Anyone can access the Blue campaign, and it has a lot of resources that go through all of the indicators, what to look for, and they also have training materials that you can use to reach out to others. It explains some of the indicators that we commonly look for, which is, you know, really it's about control. So you're looking for somebody who doesn't have control of their own life. In many cases, we talk about the fact that they've lost their identification documents. Somebody's taken their identification documents. You know, people talk about the visual indicators of the tattoos or signs of beating, bruises, but it's not always right out on the front like that. So you're looking for somebody who doesn't answer their own questions, who doesn't maybe look you straight in the eye. Someone else is answering questions for them. You know, we talk about juveniles. What doesn't look normal for a juvenile? Do they have things that they don't have money for that haven't been provided by a parent or a guardian? New phones, new jewelry, new shoes, things like that can be indicators. And the important thing to remember about indicators are that no one indicator by itself is something that's necessarily telling. You look for multiple indicators together. And when we're talking about who to call and who to reach out to, which I'll talk about in a bit, we just want you to report it. So if you see something that your spidey senses go off and you think, this doesn't look right to me, and I learned about these indicators and I've seen a couple of them with this particular person, we want you to call in or email in and report what you're seeing so that we can take a look at it and find out what's going on.
And again, with the contact information, we're going to have on our website for Tammy and for Saturn as well. And right now with the COVID, people are getting a little desperate because maybe they've lost their job or they're not working as much as they did before. And, you know, the financial resources aren't, or responsibilities aren't going away, but your resources are limited. And people are doing some pretty risky things trying to make money. Can you talk to us about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So Saturn is a partnership between our law enforcement agencies and our victim service providers. And we have a lot of really great partners. The Tucson Police Department, Pima County Sheriff's Department, DPS, the Pima County Attorney's Office, Pima County Juvenile Court, DCS, the Attorney General's Office, FBI, the U.S. Attorney's Office, all on the law enforcement side with HSI. And then on the victim services side, we have SACASA there with Kodak, PPEP Integrated Care, Pathways of Arizona, Arizona Complete Health, Community Resource Center, the Child Advocacy Center, Gospel Rescue Mission, the Southern Arizona Dream Center, Connections of Southern Arizona, Masterpiece Mentorship, Community Bridges, and Cornerstone. I wanted to make sure I got, there are more, but those are our partners that we're working on this specific initiative that we're talking about today. We are working together to address a trend that we've noticed lately in specifically sex trafficking, the work, anti-trafficking work that we do. We've noticed that there have been an increase in escort posts. And, you know, it seems to be a correlation with COVID-19 and what's going on. And some of the ads that we're seeing, that maybe we're seeing new faces that we haven't seen before. And so we decided, hey, we've already got this great partnership. We want to do a specific initiative to reach out and let people know that there are services available for them. So we've started, and I believe I sent you the material so you can post on your website.
And we will.
So we put together all the local numbers for the service providers that I mentioned, so that if someone has entered into the sex trade because they've maybe lost their job, or they've experienced a reduction in hours and they aren't making the income that they previously had, or they've lost their childcare and they're facing new challenges with that, or they've got all of these health concerns. These challenges that may have caused someone to enter into the sex trade, we want to let them know there are dangers. You're at risk of being trafficked. There are recruiters out there that will try to recruit you, and we don't want to see that happen. So we're putting out all of our local service provider numbers so that people can reach out if they need help with housing or with food, with mental health care, with drug counseling, all of those services that are available to them if they need them.
And they don't necessarily have to call law enforcement. They can get this help by calling any of these resources that we're going to post on our website.
Absolutely. So, you know, with Saturn, obviously the law enforcement side of it, we want to be able to talk to our victims. We want to be able to identify traffickers, but that's not what this is necessarily about. It's about them getting the services that they need. So if they do call in and say they call Kodak, with SACASA, and they say, this is happening to me, but I don't want to talk to law enforcement, they don't have to. That is not tied to this. This is about getting them the services that they need. And if they do want to talk to law enforcement, we're here and we're ready.
You mentioned DHS Blue. Did I hear that correctly?
The Blue Campaign.
Okay. Can you give us some more details on that?
So the DHS Blue Campaign is really our DHS effort to conduct outreach. You know, it has a lot of resources for people. If they want to go in to this website, they can find out about what human trafficking is, how to identify a victim. You know, it offers support for law enforcement. We offer a lot of trainings, a lot of print materials where, you know, if you want to share with your friends or your family, your coworkers, there are materials that you can print out that you can share. It's really just a good outreach mechanism for us. We provide a lot of trainings, in-person trainings, where we will go out and talk to law enforcement and make sure law enforcement is trained. We'll go out to church groups. We'll go out to the hospital staff and give them trainings on what the indicators are, what to look for that's specific to their field, so that they know how to recognize it and then who to call to get help.
That's awesome. And I'm just looking at this list of resources that you sent to me, and we'll be sure to put all of this on our website so people have access to it.
We're doing a lot. I mean, so obviously my agency, we have our own outreach mechanism, but then all throughout Arizona, there are a lot of really great efforts going on. We work with the Arizona Governor's Human Trafficking Council to provide trainings. I'm actually certified by the Governor's Office of Youth, Faith, and Family and ASU to provide trainings that they put out. They have other organizations like our task force here. There's the Central Arizona United to Stop Exploitation Task Force that's out of Phoenix. There's here locally Southern Arizona Against Slavery. They're doing a lot of outreach effort here. There's the Safe Action Project, which is going on, and it's a collaboration with DHS and the DHS and the Arizona Anti-Trafficking Network and the Attorney General's Office to reach out to our tourism industry to train the professionals to make sure they know how to identify the indicators of human trafficking and how to report what they're seeing out to law enforcement and to service providers. So there's a lot of really great effort that's happening right now. And Saturn, of course, is here locally, Tucson-based, but we cover all of Pima, Santa Cruz, Cochise counties for anyone that's interested in just learning more, getting trainings, or if they need services, or if they need to reach out to law enforcement. We work off a victim-centered approach. So however the information comes in, we always put the victim first on how we handle that information and how to best get the resources available for that victim.
Okay, we're going to continue with this in a few minutes, but we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. Law Matters Live Show airs Saturday mornings at 8 when our listeners ask questions of people who have answers. On our next show, we'll talk to former congressman and author of the Student Handbook for Success, Albert Anthony Melvin. So get your questions ready to join the talk at 790-2040. You don't want to be left out. Set your alarm for AM 1030 The Voice. And we can't do the show without your support. Please go to lawmatters1030.org to contribute. Getting a reverse mortgage with the new rules and expanded limits can be a positive, life-changing experience. The reverse offers multiple ways of having your equity work for you, from a monthly income, an interest-bearing equity account, or total cash out. Give me a call and let's see which reverse option best works for your future plans. Call 520-310-9900. Ask for me, Sherry. That's 520-310-9900.
The FBI will train its national and international law enforcement partners on indicators of human trafficking throughout the year, which marks the 20th anniversary of the Trafficking Victims Protection Act. The act provides tools to combat trafficking worldwide and requires the FBI to collect data on the crime. All 56 of the FBI's field offices have ongoing human trafficking investigations, more than 1,900 cases. That's an increase in the number of cases over the past several years. Deputy Director David Bowditch.
Most of the cases we see, roughly 90%, are commercial sex trafficking, and they're amongst the most heinous crimes that the FBI encounters.
The FBI's Victim Services Division ensures that survivors have access to emotional support, social services, and medical care.
We have to speak for the victims.
If you are a victim of human trafficking, call or text the National Human Trafficking Resource Center hotline at 888-373-7888. With FBI This Week, I'm Molly Halpern of the Bureau.
Thanks for staying with us. Our guest is Tammy Breitsky from Department of Homeland Security. And when you say DHS, I know people are thinking of a package delivery service. So I want to make sure it's Department of Homeland Security. Tammy, are you there?
Yes, oh. I'm here.
Okay. I think a lot of people don't really recognize or realize what sex trafficking is and human trafficking is, and there are several movies out there that they could be watching to kind of get an idea of what we're talking about, because I think people don't realize this is happening. This isn't, you know, something that happened a long time ago. This is happening right now, today. And, you know, there's, if you have Netflix, you can search I Am Jane Doe, And also they are offering right now, it just came out this week, Jeffrey Epstein's documentary. It's 4 episodes. It's about 4 hours long. It's worth watching. And then there's ContralandMovie.com. And that was put out by Veterans for Child Rescue. That'll give you an indicator of the some of the people that are involved with this that they've caught. And then there's another movie called Trafficked. And if watching these movies and seeing what's going on doesn't make you angry, I don't know what would. So let's talk a little bit more about the resources and what Saturn is doing.
Okay, yeah. So there's a lot of media attention that's coming out, a lot of movies coming out, documentaries. It's really about getting public awareness on the issue of human trafficking so that they know that it really is happening. Like you said, it's happening. It's not always out there in the front. Sometimes it's hard to see, to recognize. But I think these movies and documentaries that you're talking about are really, they're doing a lot to help people understand what trafficking is so that they do recognize it. And when they do, they need somebody to call. So we have our national hotline number, our human trafficking hotline that I just heard on your ad there on the break. It's what we hand out to people to call. It works well, and it works well because when somebody, they can call in, they can text in, they can email in the information that they have. They tell who they're willing to talk to. So if the reporter wants to be able to talk to law enforcement, they say, yes, I'm willing to be contacted by law enforcement. And when they receive that information, they will distribute it out to everybody in the area who needs to get it. So we're already all on the same page. It goes to the Tucson Police Department. It comes to me at HSI. It goes to FBI. It goes to the Pima County Sheriff's Department. And it also will go to the victim service providers here in Tucson so that everybody is already on the same page with the same information and we can approach whatever lead we have together.
There's
obviously,
go ahead.
We tell people if there's an emergency, you know, if something's happening that is right now and someone needs help, call 911. It'll get routed to the right law enforcement agency to address that immediate emergency. But if you have information, please call the hotline, the National Human Trafficking Hotline that we have. It's 1-888-373-7888.
Okay. I'll put that on the website, too, so I don't see that number on here. There's other ways that people can get help. I'm thinking of the victims, and that was one of the things when I watched the Jeff Epstein documentary. They go from accusing these women of crimes of, you know, you're a prostitute, you're going to jail, to recognizing the fact that they've been victimized, and there are resources to help these victims actually get out of the situation they're in and find regular jobs and turn their life around. And I think Gospel Rescue Mission is one of those resources. And I know there's going to be a ranch opening up, and I think it's Central Arizona, to help victims recover from what they've been through and go through the process of healing. Can you give us more information on the resources for victims?
Yes, absolutely. So there are a lot of really great resources here, and our partners with Saturn, I know I mentioned a few of them earlier, Gospel Rescue Mission has been a very valuable partner. They are wonderful for our housing referrals when we find victims that need a place because they don't have a place to live. Maybe they're homeless or they need to get out of their situation and they can't return to what they had as a home. So Gospel Rescue Mission has been fantastic with taking our victim referrals. We also work with Kodak here in town. They have the Southern Arizona Center Against Sexual Assault. They provide a lot of victim services for us. They can do a lot of referrals. We also work with PPEP Integrated and Pathways of Arizona. Those are another two other resources that we have for our victim services, and all of those, they can provide treatment for trauma, mental health. They deal with drug addiction, alcohol addiction. They can help with job resources on how to put together a resume and apply for a job, or put them into contact with employers that are hiring. A lot of the victims, they're dealing with other issues too, where, you know, maybe they do have criminal histories and that presents obstacles for getting a job. These services really, they give them a mechanism for getting in contact with employers that will hire them so that they can try to get back onto their feet. And, you know, that in combination with all of the therapy that they might need dealing with the trauma that they've experienced, it's really a long-term treatment that they need. And these victim service providers, they really step up.
And I noticed in the Jeff Epstein documentary where the person who is trafficking them threatened them by saying, we're going to cause harm to your family. We're going to, you know, cause harm to your parents, your home, your siblings. And these threats, you know, they're real threats. And if you think this person is real, I mean, they're bad enough to be doing what they're doing. Maybe they're bad enough to follow through on a threat like that. If somebody has a situation like that, what should they do to protect themselves and their family?
Sure. Well, it's a coercion is used to control human trafficking victims. And so when you're in that position, that situation, it's very difficult to, one, even recognize that that's what's going on, because at that point, the victim is so controlled that it often takes somebody that knows that victim to recognize what's happening. We don't have a lot of victims. No, we have them, but not a lot of them are going to reach out to us or to victim service providers and say, hey, this is what's happening to me. Usually there's an event that occurs that causes us as law enforcement to come into contact with them, or you know, there's an event that occurs, maybe a medical event where they end up in the hospital or they end up needing treatment for something, and then the staff that's working with them starts to recognize the indicators, or they have somebody that does care about them, maybe a parent or a sibling, that reaches out on their behalf and says, this is what's happening to my loved one. But we rarely actually see a victim just come straight to us and say, I'm being trafficked.
And people need to understand, just because your children live at home does not mean they're not being trafficked.
No, absolutely not. Especially in today's age with social media. We actually, our partners, the Tucson Police Department, Detective Jen Crawford, I know you've had her on your show a couple times. She's absolutely wonderful. I've been working with her for years, and she does a class on social media awareness and the dangers that addresses a lot of these issues. And she offers it for both adults and for kids to make them aware of what's going on and what the dangers are. A lot of parents don't realize how easy it is for their kids to get sucked in on social media. And before they know it, they're being victimized.
Absolutely. And we've hosted some of those classes, and hopefully we'll be able to host more in the future with COVID maybe dying down a little bit. And, you know, people need to be educated on this. It's just a huge, huge topic. And there's so many spikes off this one topic that, you know, lead to the same thing. Like you're talking about the labor, and there's so many things going on with this that people need to be educated. And No, go ahead.
I was going to say there are a lot of places that people can go to look. So we have our Saturn website where you can get information. You can request trainings from us here locally. It's at SAATURN at TucsonAZ.gov. You can send an email and let us know if you need training for, you know, for where you work. If you have coworkers that want to sit in on a training together, if your church group wants a training, we can come out and provide training to your church group. We're available to come out and share the information and make sure that you have all of the resources that you need. You can also go to the blue campaign that I talked about before. That's at dhs.gov/blue campaign. You can get the free training resources there. Also, we have our social media. So Saturn has a Facebook page. It'll have our special COVID-19 initiative flyer posted on that. I know Kodak is also posting. U of A is posting our ad that has all of the local service provider numbers for folks. So that's available there for anyone who wants to go on and see what that specific project is about and who to reach out to.
Yeah, and I've talked to people. I belong to several networking groups, and I've talked to people who have an occasion to maybe go into a house, like appliance repair person or, you know, heating and cooling people. And I was like, you know, these people need to be trained on what they're looking at, too. And it's not just, you know, your church people, your schools. I think all schools should do it. The residents at the U of A, I think all the all the people in, that live in those homes, the dorms, they should be trained on what they're looking at. And you offer this resource. Let's take advantage of the education. I'm all about education. Let's take advantage of this education. It doesn't hurt.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I know a lot of companies are beginning to require training. We do a lot of outreach to the hotel industry, the hospitality industry, and a lot of the major chains are requiring that their staff take a human trafficking training. You're seeing other companies like UPS is training their delivery guys.
That's another good
Uber,
one. Yes.
They're training their drivers to train them to recognize the indicators so that when they come into contact with people, they see it. There have been some great success stories that you've seen where people have recognized it and they've called in. So I really hope that momentum keeps going. And if anybody, any of your listeners out there would like to request a training, please reach out to us.
Yeah, I heard a story where the airlines was trained and the one lady recognized the situation and called the sheriff. And sure enough, young lady, a minor, was being trafficked. So she saved that person's life.
Absolutely. It's great when you get to hear the success stories where somebody did recognize it and they were able to do something about it. And I think you're going to see more and more of that as people become more aware, as we get the outreach out to everyone and get everyone educated on what to look for and what to do when you do see it.
Do you have any classes scheduled now? I know the COVID has kind of diminished a few things, but do you have anything scheduled?
So the COVID really, it's presented a challenge, and we're working on ways to get around it. TPD, they've started doing some online training. They did one back at the end of April, and I don't believe they have one scheduled, but if you keep an eye on our Saturn webpage and our Saturn Facebook, TPD's Facebook link, you will see it when it's posted. I know that they're going to be coming up with another one soon, although I don't believe there's a date.
Well, virtual training, how safe can that be? You don't even have to leave your house. You can just sit there and watch what's going on and be educated. When they do these virtual trainings, is there a way of asking questions? Do you type in or can you actually talk?
Yeah, so I think the ones when they do them on like a Zoom platform, you can type in your questions. But even the ones that say this online training that Tucson Police Department is doing, they're posting it onto their Facebook. So you can send in a Facebook message or instant message on Facebook and ask the question that you have while the training is going on. They also provide their contact numbers. So you can reach out and call and say, hey, you know, this is what I'm seeing and I want to tell somebody about it, if you want to call directly to Tucson Police Department. So there are ways to get those questions out.
The only thing is you have to provide your own snacks. I know when we hosted it, we provided snacks. So.
That's correct. When we do these trainings in person, we do provide snacks a lot of the time.
Okay. Tell me, how does a person get hired on by Department of Homeland Security?
So just like FBI, we have a lot of different positions. HSI is within Immigration and Customs Enforcement. And if you go online to ice.dhs.gov careers. It'll talk about not only how to apply, but also all of our different positions that we have. I mean, we have our enforcement and removal operations. We have Homeland Security investigations, which is me, who I work for. But we also have attorneys with our legal advisors. We have a lot of different positions. If somebody doesn't want to be an agent, we have intelligence research specialist positions. We have administrative staff positions. So anybody that's interested in a career with ICE can go online and read about the different positions and how to apply for them.
Do you have profilers?
I'm not a profiler for our careers. I know we have recruiters.
Okay, I know the FBI has profilers, and I've always been fascinated. I want to have a profiler on the show. I want to talk to them. It was when I went to Quantico, they had a profiler talk to us. I was just totally fascinated, and he had all these pictures on the wall, and he had a list on the right side with some of the crimes. And he said, match the crime to the face. And, you know, these people looked just like they, you know, went to Sunday school. The crimes were so heinous. I couldn't believe that we were matching these people and they were actually guilty of these crimes. So I was like, I want your job. I want to learn how to do what you do.
So all of our 1811 series are criminal investigators. We do receive specialized training, but we don't, not like FBI, we don't have a position of just a pure profiler.
Okay, well, that's too bad because it was fun. When I go to work, I want to have fun. Okay, we're going to make sure all this information is posted on our website. I know we've got a flyer. It's a 2-page flyer. It's really pretty. I don't know who designed your flyers, but we're going to post that on our website with all this information, everything that Steve gave us, everything that Tammy gave us. You're going to have a lot of resources. If you know somebody in a situation or just want more information about what's going on, you want to ask for a training class, this is where you go. Lawmatters1030.org. or any of their websites, and you'll get that information. Tammy, I want to thank you for coming on. I want to see you in person so we can have a real conversation about this. And
absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
And yes, thank you. And I thank you for everything you do. Steve, thank you for your service. Tammy, thank you for your service. And I want everybody to stay home, stay safe. And until next week, we'll see you again. Shop local.
KVOI Cortero, AM 1030, the voice of Tucson. Trusted local news and talk. A Bustos Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Allison Keyes in Washington. Demonstrations, some violent, erupted across the nation overnight over the killing of George Floyd, a black man who died after a white officer pinned him down. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz has called out more National Guard troops and says he's considering asking for federal help.
It will be a dangerous situation on the streets tonight. We will do everything.